So who all, by a show of hands this morning, who all is still doing the fasting? Okay, handful. Hey, let me just encourage you, keep at it. I've heard a couple of stories that the Lord is speaking to people. He's revealing himself to people. And I'm excited to see what else comes from it. And thank you. And so I would just like to encourage you, if you're on the fence of whether or not you should do it, let me suggest to you it's the best thing that you could do. And you should do it. And so let me start this morning by just saying good morning, and it just lost as soon as that. Well, guys, we're going to just do this old school. I'm not going to have slides for you. So you're just going to have to stare at that slide as we go through today. I apologize. Hey, look at that. Brooklyn can do it. Thank you, Brooklyn. All right, follow along really well, Brooklyn. Technology is great. So good morning, everybody. My name is Pastor Mike, and I am so thrilled that you are here today. Listen, sometimes things are awkward. Sometimes things don't work the way we want to. We can move on despite it, correct? So I am so pumped for the next sermon in our fasting series, and I hope you came expecting to hear from the Lord today. I can tell you, for me, it's been a journey. It's been something that has encouraged me. It's been something that has challenged me. It's been something that I have struggled with. And then it's stuff that I have overcome and succeeded in. And so throughout this series so far, don't worry, if this is your first Sunday here or first Sunday in this series, you are perfectly fine. Each sermon is designed to build off of the last, but it's also designed to stand on its own. So each week we have a purpose for the sermon. And today, so let me just cover quick what we've answered so far. And if you go to engagechurch.life, that's our website, and then go to sermons, you can listen to the past sermons in this series if you would like to be caught up. And so throughout this series, we've answered what is fasting. And then we also looked at the types of fasting that go along with that. We've answered why do we fast? Why should we fast? Why is this something that we need to do? And last week, we listed the benefits of what biblical fasting brings to us. Today, we're going to dive a little bit deeper. What have you heard me say since the first sermon? Fasting without prayer is... dieting. Fasting without prayer is simply dieting. And today we're going to dive a little bit deeper into that. We're going to look at the powerful combination of fasting and prayer. See, it's a combination that has to be paired together. And so because fasting without prayer is just dieting, is because, and it's for this reason, because fasting is never about going without, it's about going to God. Fasting is not about going without, it is about going to God. Alone, fasting is simply deprivation. But with prayer, it is used as a spiritual weapon that shifts our focus on what we lack to the one who supplies all that we need. So today we're going to see why prayer is the power behind fasting and why the two must go together always. Let's start by refreshing our memories of what the definition of fasting is. Here's the definition. Fasting involves abstaining from food for a limited period of time in order to devote oneself more fully to prayer and spiritual matters. And so I wonder this morning, don't raise your hand, but you can answer this on your own. How many of you have faced a moment that was so uncertain that you didn't know which way to turn? We talked about it a little bit in Sunday school this morning. You faced something so uncertain you didn't know which way to turn. Imagine, if you will, stopping everything, stopping your plans, stopping your instincts, and in that moment, instead, you decide to declare, God, I trust you completely. See, this is exactly what we're going to see in our scripture this morning. In the book of Ezra, we see Ezra and the Israelites did this exact thing that I just said. They fasted and they prayed for God's guidance. Today, we're going to explore how fasting and prayer open the door to His direction in our lives. And so if you have your Bible with you today, and I hope you do, if not, I hope somebody next to you has one that you can look on with. We'll also have it on the screen. Would you turn your Bible this morning to the book of Ezra, chapter 8? Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 through 23, and also verse 31. And to give you a little bit of context while you're looking that up, Ezra 8 is placed during the second wave of Israelites returning from exile. So this is the second group that are returning from exile. They had a 900-mile journey ahead of them, and it was dangerous. And it was something that Ezra refused to rely on the Persian king's protection. Instead, he called for a fast. He called for a fast that led the people to seek God's guidance and protection through prayer. So this act of faith is a powerful reminder for us today, and it gives us evidence that in uncertainty, fasting and prayer anchors us in trust. Let's read this morning, Ezra 8, starting with verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from Him a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and all our goods. For I was ashamed to ask the king for a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us against the enemy on our way, since we had told the king, the hand of our God is for good on all who seek Him, and the power of His wrath is against all who forsake Him. So we fasted, and we implored our God for this, and He listened to our entreaty. Jump to verse 31. Then we departed from the river Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem. The hand of our God was on us, and He delivered us from the hand of the enemy and from ambushes by the way. So here's some truth that we can grab onto from this scripture today. God is pleased with people who humbly and sincerely fast and pray to Him about things of great concern to them. Do I need to repeat that so you can hear? God is pleased when you humbly and sincerely fast and pray about things of great concern to you. So things of concern, we shouldn't be concerned. Rather, we need to put it to fasting and prayer. So there are three points that I want to extract from today, and I think these are important. They build one off of the other, and it's important for us to look at because it teaches us how fasting and prayer go together. And the first one is fasting and prayer demonstrates dependence on God. Fasting and prayer demonstrates dependence on God. So Ezra, what we saw in our scripture, he proclaimed a fast. And he led the people in prayer because they needed more than discipline. It wasn't just about staying in line and doing this and walking and staying tight. They needed divine intervention on their travels. And we know that fasting alone does not move God. It is the act of prayer during fasting that opens the door for His power, which is why I have repeatedly said, fasting without prayer is simply dieting. So fasting does not move God alone. It is the act of prayer during the fast that opens the door for His power. This is why prayer must be the foundation of every fast. Prayer is the connection point. Prayer is when you plug into the power. Fasting is just the act of humbling and submitting yourself to Him. Prayer is what plugs that power in. If you've ever vacuumed and you got to the end of the cord and it ripped it out of the wall and it took you 5 minutes to realize you weren't sucking anything up because you had your headphones in, anybody else? Come on. You have to go back and do what? You got to plug it into power, right? I thought it was funny. Listen, prayer is the connection. Fasting is the surrender. Prayer is where the power comes from. Fasting is the surrender to that. When the two come together, we step into complete dependence on God, inviting His presence into our circumstances. Who could use a little bit of the presence of God in their circumstance today? See, in the Old Testament, God's people fasted in order to express humility, self-denial, and submission to God. This was a means of seeking His help, His protection, and His favor. Let's be like the Old Testament where we seek and not ask Him for our laundry list of wants and desires. See, we see what the Old Testament, we see exactly this in Ezra. Ezra and the Israelites faced a dangerous journey, one that required more than human preparation. Because they did not ask the Persian king to send his army, it then required divine intervention. So instead of seeking that military escort, they chose to lean on the supernatural guidance of God through fasting and prayer. This wasn't about physical safety. It was about trusting the hand of the Holy Spirit to lead them there, to get them to where they were going. And when we fast and pray, we declare that our strength is not in our human resource, but it's in the power of the Spirit to guide and protect us. See, King David demonstrates this concept for us in Psalms chapter 20, verse 7. You can write that down, Psalms 20, verse 7. And it says this, David writes this, and he says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." See, this verse reinforces the idea that trusting in God, that we should trust in God rather than our earthly resource. So praying to God for His care and protection, listen, is always wise. Do you pray before you get in the car and drive somewhere? We do on vacations and we do on motorcycles, but when I'm just driving to get mail, that's the furthest thing from my mind. But it's wise. It's wise to pray and ask God to care and protect you on your journey. God's help should not be taken for granted. He chooses to guide and protect us through our prayers. So what we need to be cataloging and putting into our tool chest here in this first point is to fast and pray this week. I don't care if you've not done it the first 3 weeks, you can jump on this week, especially in times of uncertainty. If you have something this week that is just consuming your thoughts and your concerns and you don't know how you're going to make it, listen, now is your time as a demonstration of your trust in God rather than your own abilities to put it to fast and prayer. If you have something that you are facing that you can't overcome, that you can't do through your own abilities, guess what? It is worth your time to put it to fast and prayer. We have to first demonstrate that we are dependent on God to be able to be prepared for God's leading. And that takes us to our second point. Fasting and prayer prepare us for God's leading. See, fasting prepares us, but prayer connects us. So it's into that power source. Fasting quiets the world, but prayer amplifies God's voice in our life. If we fast without prayer, we are dieting. We are simply emptying ourselves. There's no power plugged into it. But prayer is what fills us with God's wisdom and direction. And Nehemiah does a tremendous job of displaying this for us. Nehemiah didn't just fast. He prayed deeply and persistently. And if you want to write this down and go read it later, it's in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. But just listen to his words. "As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven." In verse 5, he says, "And I said," this is his prayer, "O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. They are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name. And give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Nehemiah was getting ready to go before the king and asked to leave service from him to go and to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So Nehemiah's fast wasn't what moved God. It was his prayer. It was his prayer that moved God. His prayer during the fast is what led to God's intervention. Again, if we fast without prayer, we are doing nothing to connect to the Lord. It's a diet. Let's not diet. Let's fast and pray. Let's combine the two together. This is why fasting without dedicated prayer time is simply ineffective. It doesn't work. If we are not praying during our fast, we're missing the entire purpose of fasting. You're simply just putting yourself through something to endure for the sake of enduring it. But instead, if we put prayer with our fasting, we seek God's voice, wisdom, and leading in our lives. See, when we fast and we pray, and it prepares us to trust God's leading, it builds in us our third point, spiritual humility. Prayer and fasting builds spiritual humility. Fasting brings humility, but prayer invites God's presence into that humility. And Jesus gives us a clear example of this. I'm not using the full, but you can go find the full context. It's Luke chapter 18, verses 13 and 14. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The tax collector prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus declared that he went home justified. Why is that? Because humility expressed through prayer is what moves the heart of God. Humility expressed through prayer is what moves the heart of God. See, fasting, it humbles us. But it is through prayer and fasting that we encounter God's grace. If you have done a fast, you know how tempting it can be to eat something. It's hard to deny the basic things that your body wants and needs. Am I right? It's a challenge. It humbles us. And then when we pair that along with seeking after God, we encounter God's grace. We need both. We need both fasting and prayer, because fasting positions us in that position of surrender, but then prayer leads us into His presence. It's important that we fast and pray with a spirit of humility, which means we are laying down our desires and we are seeking God's will above all else. It's easy to go and say, I need this, I want this, and that, and that, and that. But it is laying down my desires and seeking God's will above all else. This week as a church, we are being challenged. I hope you're listening. We are being challenged to take intentional steps in fasting and prayer, just as Ezra and the Israelites did. Fasting is more than abstaining from food. It is a declaration of our dependence on God. It is a way to prepare our hearts to receive Him, to receive His guidance, and to receive His grace. And it is an act of humility before Him. See, Ezra led the people to fast, not because they were strong, but because they recognized their needs for God's strength and direction. In the same way, we are called to set aside our reliance on our resources, our control, our human wisdom, and instead seek God wholeheartedly in every area of our life. If we have finances and we have this and these, it's easy to find ourselves falling back on what we know, on what we're comfortable with. But what we learn today is that we are to set aside our reliance. And we rely wholly on Him. As we go into this week, church, can we commit to fasting and prayer with purpose? Can we? Listen, this is not about giving something up. So if you're sitting here thinking, oh gosh, I got to give up lunch, I got to give up supper, and I don't really want to go through that, or I was going to have eggs and bacon for breakfast tomorrow morning, I don't want to do it. Listen, it's not about what you're giving up, it's about pressing in further into God. It's about seeking more after Him. And I would submit to you today that that far surpasses the temporary enjoyment of eating bacon and eggs for breakfast. So don't just fast. Pray with expectation. Set aside time to talk to God, listen to God, and seek His face. If you need wisdom, if you need a deeper relationship with God, or maybe you need direction on something, maybe there's something going on in your life and you don't know why, what, how, whatever, fast and pray, believing He will answer you. Fasting is the act, but prayer is the power. So let's plug in to the power source. Let's press in together this week. We're fasting, and several of you raised your hands that you're fasting. Let's press in together, and let's just see how God will respond. Let's come together in faith. Let's seek God's will as a church, as individuals, but also as a church. And let's expect that He is going to guide us. Let's expect that He's going to guide us in our church. He's going to guide us in our families. He's going to guide us in our personal lives. And that His plan is better than ours. It is worth whatever you are going through. It is so worth taking the time to put it to prayer and fasting. Here at Engage Church, our mission is quite simple. Engaging our community for Jesus. Engaging our community for Jesus. But that mission starts, Stacy, if you want to come on up. But that mission starts with us first seeking after God. To not seek after God means that we cannot engage our world for Christ because we are not spiritually full. We are spiritually empty. So instead, we have to first seek after God so we can engage in our community for Christ. We can engage our world, our workplace, our families, our neighbors, that we can engage them for Christ because we are spiritually full, because we have put ourselves to prayer and fasting. That's why we pray, that's why we fast, and that's why we trust in His leading. So as we go out in this week and we go about and we love our lives and we do the things that we do, let's not just be hearers of the word. Let's not just sit here and have a good word, but rather let's respond to it. Can we do that? Would you stand to your feet this morning? If everyone just bow their heads and close their eyes this morning, just take time to listen to my voice and not to what the person beside you is doing. There's a chance that you're here today and you realize that you've been trying to do life all on your own. You've been trying to handle things as they come your way, trying to overcome, trying to navigate. Maybe you're realizing today that you've relied too long on your own wisdom, too long on your own strength, and it's left you disappointed every time. It's left you feeling lost. The good news is that Jesus came. He died on the cross. He rose again on the third day so that you don't have to walk alone. so that you don't have to do this thing called life all on your own. This morning, He is inviting you to live a life led by His Spirit. To live a life led by Him. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 tells us, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So if today is the day, if today is the day that you're ready to surrender to Jesus, to not just try harder, it's not about trying harder, it's not about working harder, it's about wholly trusting Him completely. So whether this is for the first time or this is in a fresh way, you're saying, Lord, I need You in my life. Would You just raise Your hand today as every head is bowed, every eye is closed? Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Church, can we pray this prayer together here today? Just repeat these words after me. Dear Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. I recognize that You died for my sins in my place. I commit to You my life from this day forward as my Savior and my Lord. Would You use me? Would You change me? Would You guide me? And would You help me not be a hearer of the word, but a doer? In Jesus' name, amen. Church, we had two individuals raise their hands in response today. Thank you. Praise the Lord. It's no small thing, and it may seem silly to celebrate, but I want you to know the angels in heaven are having a party right now. Scripture tells us that the angels in heaven celebrate over one sinner who came back. And so there's a party in heaven, and your name is on a banner. And now your name is inserted into the book of life because of your decision today. So church, I realize that there's potatoes downstairs and they're getting ready and your stomachs are grumbling, but could we just take a moment? Because fasting and prayer is for us to remove, so let's just make the food wait. Maybe we're not fasting today because we knew the potato bar was today. But let's take time to respond. We've talked about fasting, we've talked about prayer, we've talked about seeking God's guidance, we've talked about humbling ourselves before Him. But talking about it isn't enough. We can't just be hearers of the word. We have to be doers. So this morning, our challenge is to step into it. Step into it this morning. Maybe today you're facing a decision and you need clarity from God. Maybe you've been spiritually weary and you need to be filled with His presence again. Maybe you just need to take a moment to pause and to seek after Him. I invite you, as service does come to a close, there is time for this though. I don't want you rushing out of here. I invite you, don't stay in your seat. Don't stay where you're at. If you need God's wisdom, if you need His presence, His strength, would you come forward this morning? It is no small thing to step out and say, Lord, I need more of You in my life. Let's make this altar a place of surrender, a place of trust, a place of expectation. If you need something from the Lord this morning, let's take time right now. Step out of your seat. Come to the altar in prayer and believe that He will respond to you.